how those people live who have been called to the state of abandonment. It seems to me that such people's lives are similar to those of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin, and Saint Joseph. Such a life is one of complete dependence on God's good pleasure, and one of complete inertia until stirred by His will. The thing that must be noted about this is that, to use human expressions, it seems to be casual and half-hazard in its operation. I shall call it the purely providential will of God, to distinguish it from that other aspect of His will which imposes definite obligations which we must fulfill. Leaving aside this manifestation of His will, the people I am talking about are wholly subject to His providential will. So their lives, although really extraordinary, show nothing which is not quite usual and ordinary. They fulfill all the duties of religion and all those inherent in their way of life, just as others apparently do. We can investigate them closely, but we shall find nothing special or striking about them. Their lives seem commonplace. Anything which might single them out is not apparent. It is their dependence on God's will which settles everything for them. Because of the continual submission of their hearts, this will gives complete self-mastery. Whether they cooperate consciously with it or obey it without even noticing they are doing so is all one. God uses them to help other souls. They are, by their state, solitary and free, detached from all things, satisfied to love God peacefully, belong to Him, and accomplish faithfully the immediate task in conformity with His will. There is no reflection, no looking back, no consideration of consequences, or the whys and the wherefores. It is enough for them to go on unaffectedly and do their obvious duty as if nothing in the world existed except God and it. The present moment is like a desert in which these uncomplicated souls see and enjoy only God and attend to nothing but His will. Everything else is ignored, forgotten, and left to providence. They are like an instrument which only accepts or acts according to whether it is passively occupied with God's purpose or directed by Him to some outside activity. Now this exterior activity is accompanied by a free and lively cooperation, yet one that is infused and mystical. That is to say, that God, finding these souls attuned up and ready to act if He gives the word, is well satisfied and spares them the need for action, but yet grants them all the benefits that they would have gained by their efforts and goodwill. It is as if someone who sees a friend preparing to go on a journey on his behalf immediately assumes his friend's appearance and makes the journey himself. So, in fact, all this friend has done is show his willingness to go, for the actual trip was made by someone else. This journey would not be a forced one, because it would not be the result of a free decision to serve a person who then undertook the labor and cost of the journey. It would be an active one, for the journey really would be made, yet it would be an interior one, since it would be performed without any activity on the friend's part, and it would be a mystical one, for the truth about the journey would be hidden. We should note that the kind of cooperation involved in this imaginary journey is entirely different from the obedience with which we carry out our normal duties. The work by which we fulfill these duties is neither mystical nor infused, but free and active in the common meaning of the words. Abandonment to God's will is both active and passive. When we abandon ourselves, we provide nothing of our own apart from the habitual broad goodwill, which works for nothing but is ready for anything. We are like a tool which is quite useless until it is in the hands of a workman, where it performs all the tasks for which it was designed. But obedience to the clearly expressed and definite will of God is a different matter. It implies normal vigilance, care, prudence, and discretion. God's grace may help us. Leave everything else to God, except for your love and obedience to the duties of the present moment. This love is a very real act, and is an inescapable obligation. We must cherish it ceaselessly, and always be ready to obey its promptings, which obviously we cannot do without acting. The instant response to our immediate duties is, of course, also action. It is action by which we fulfill God's will made apparent to us by external situations and events, although we expect to see nothing extraordinary in them. This is for us the one law, the one supreme rule, the one clear and certain path. It is a law which is unchanged by place, time, and circumstance. It is a straight line which we must follow undeviatingly, with faith and courage, and without any questioning. To sum up, we must be active in all the present moment demands of us, but in everything else remain passive and abandoned, and do nothing but peacefully await the promptings of God.